How is the Lutheran teaching about the Lord's Supper distinct from other Christian confessions? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Cambridge Singers with stanza 2 of the Lord's Supper hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. What's going on in the Lord's Supper? Is the power of the Lord's Supper found in my faith, my earnestness, my remembrance, my traveling in my mind back to that place where Jesus either gave the Lord's Supper or back to the cross where his body and blood are given as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world? Is that where the power of the Lord's Supper is, or is it someplace else? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brandon Scott Jones joins us for the next half hour or so. We're going to be talking about the power of the Lord's Supper, where it's really located on this Friday afternoon, and then normal Friday fare, the last half hour of Issues Etc. today is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You listen to the soundbites, and then after you've heard the four soundbites that we'll play for you in about a half hour, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or you send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and it's also your chance to win the LPR bundle package, and I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug pin, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. Due to my fault this week, we're posting the soundbites a little bit late, so please, we need your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about a half hour. Joining us to talk about the power of the Lord's Supper, Pastor Brandon Scott Jones. He's pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Long Beach, California. Pastor Jones, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much, Todd. A glorious Lent to you.
And to you as well. You start your conversation about the Lord's Supper and the power of it by pointing us to an Old Testament story from one of the books of Kings, the kind of famous story of Naaman the Syrian, Naaman the leper. What does that have to do with the Lord's Supper?
That's a very good question, Todd. It's one of those stories where the power of the Word of God itself just jumps out off the text. You know, if you were to go to any old place, I guess you were talking about the Ganges recently, and go in, it really doesn't matter how much you believe that going in such a river is going to cleanse you or heal you. Your belief in that doesn't do anything. But now, when God's Word is added to something like a river, like water, everything changes, because there you have the sure promises of God. And that's really what happens in this story. It's just fantastic. You know, the river would not heal leprosy, except that the prophet, the Lord's spokesman, said, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan, and you'll be cleansed. And Naaman's leprosy was cleansed in accordance with the word of the Lord.
So if we were to conclude from that story, and we'll make the connection here with the Lord's Supper, if we were to conclude from that story, well, it was Naaman's earnestness or what? His confidence, or even maybe his faith that healed him of his leprosy? How do you respond to that?
Well, no, actually, if you look at the story, he goes off in a rage as his first response to the prophet's words that he should go to the Jordan and dip seven times. You may recall that he had preferred the rivers of Damascus if he was going to do anything along those lines, so he wanted to have it his own way. He was just going to go without it, but he was convinced by his servants about this great word that the prophet had spoken to him, where he actually said, you know, wash and be clean. And he yields to that, and he goes down into the Jordan, and he dips seven times, and he is totally restored. So the power was in the word of God promised in that action of going into the water, specifically the Jordan River, and dipping seven times. So, no, I wouldn't put it in him and his confidence and his faith or, you know, any positive thinking or anything like that that he might have had. Instead, it clearly was the word of the Lord doing this. The word of the Lord is the power in his cleansing.
And doesn't Naaman himself even understand, at the very least, even in his scoffing at the Jordan, that the Jordan itself, that river of water, doesn't have the power?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like that dirty Jordan, you know, there are better rivers in Damascus. And so he's not again seeing it in the water per se either. Like, oh, the Jordan. Well, yeah, of course that has curative powers. I'm going right away. You know, not at all. He absolutely would have had it another way, but the word of the Lord directed him to the Jordan, and that's where the cleansing was, by the word of the Lord.
So let's connect this to the Lord's Supper, because there are a lot of people who believe that whatever power the Lord's Supper may have, and Christians obviously have great disagreements about that, but they may agree upon the fact, well, the power of it is in my belief, my faith, my earnestness, my sincerity. What would you say there, Pastor Jones?
Yeah, absolutely not. Again, the power is not in our side of the equation. The power is totally in God's side of the equation. Faith becomes a receiving means, something that receives the blessings that are put into the thing. But the Word of God is put into the thing to make it what God's Word says it is. In fact, you know, when we gather at the Lord's table, you might have someone who has the misconception that, well, it's whatever each person believes about it. That's what they receive up there. You know, I go up and I kneel and I think, oh, well, here's just a nice time to remember the Savior and what he's done for me while I eat a small piece of bread and drink a small amount of wine. Whereas the person who's next to me, well, you know, they're kind of a hyper-spiritual person or whatever, and so they think they're eating the body and blood of Jesus, and so that's fine, and for them, that's what they're doing. As if our own thinking, our own opinions, our own faith make or break what the sacrament is. And that's simply not true. The Scripture is very clear. A thing is what God declares it to be. Whether we believe it or not, it is what God declares it to be. So when you come to the Lord's Supper, even if you are hypocritically presenting yourself, you are receiving in your mouth the very body and blood of Jesus. Now, the person who doesn't believe this, however, is not receiving the benefits that our Lord has put into the supper of his body and blood. Because faith, of course, receives those benefits.
What does he receive? I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but what does a person who comes hypocritically, that is, not believing, denying the Lord's word, that's the power, you've said it here, denying the Lord's word in the Lord's Supper, what does he get?
Well, in his mouth, he is, in fact, receiving what the word of the Lord has declared the bread and wine to be, now the body and blood of Christ. However, in receiving the body and blood of Christ, the unbeliever, the hypocrite, the person who is naysaying the word of God in his heart or in his mind, even though he's up there kneeling and receiving, he's receiving the body and blood of Christ unto judgment, as the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 11.
So maybe we should talk about a twofold power of the Lord's Supper, at least in that sense. It is both law and gospel.
Well, again, it's faith is receiving the benefits that are in that gospel gift. Unbelief is not receiving it, but spurning it. And so, you know, this receiving something hypocritically that the Lord has given as a good gift, its destructiveness is purely on the side and at the fault, as it were, of the unbeliever. It's the unbelieving heart that is rejecting the clear word and gift that God is giving to those receiving.
So it sounds like what you're saying is, regardless of the heart of the person receiving, the word stands.
That's correct. The word is there, and we can't change it. The word of the Lord endures forever.
Well, let's take a break then. Pastor Brandon Scott Jones is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Long Beach, California. And we're talking about the power of the Lord's Supper. When we come back, Naaman gets healing. He gets physical healing when he hears the word of the Lord and acts accordingly. What do we receive when we receive the word of the Lord and its power in the Lord's Supper? What do we get? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. By the way, in less than 20 minutes, we'll be playing Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. And we need your votes. Phone call voters get to vote first. So get ready to vote for Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-6943. Email your votes, talkback@issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri, St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota, Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa, St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
In this twist of plot that only, well, let's say a merciful God could invent, who gets the inheritance? The very people who were expected to be destroyed, us.
I was raised Catholic, and I remember my first communion, but I do not practice now. I'm ecumenical.
Before long, the churches started looking like revival meetings. Cantles were gone, pulpits were gone, baptismal fonts gone, Lord's table gone, because you had to have a stage for the evangelist personality and charisma.
If you're going to talk about theistic evolution, and the evolution you mean is the blind watchmaker's thesis, and the theism that you mean is classical Christianity, what is it that God actually did if he so-called used evolution?
In a little bit more than 15 minutes, we're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, but your participation is absolutely necessary. Without your votes, there is no Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. So you can listen in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can wait and call, give us a call, and phone call voters get to go first, 1-877-623-6943. And your chances are pretty good of winning the LPR bundle package and Issues Etc. I Have Issues t-shirt, a travel mug, a pen, a bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, in just a little bit more than 15 minutes on this Friday afternoon, March the 15th. Pastor Brandon Scott Jones is our guest. We're talking about the power of the Lord's Supper. Pastor Jones, Naaman, we were talking about him before, the Syrian and the leper, when he hears the word of the Lord, he's healed. What do we receive when we hear the word of the Lord in the Lord's Supper, despite our doubts?
The very body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed on Calvary's cross, is now given and poured into you, the recipient of this sacrament at the altar. And so the benefits of the cross of Christ, namely the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation, are then given to you, the recipient of the body and blood of Christ, which were given and shed for you. So we like to talk about where salvation was procured and then where salvation is distributed. We look back at Calvary's cross, and we see the Son of God made flesh, shedding his blood for us on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of the world away. But you and I, we don't travel back in time nor distance to go and receive that salvation that he accomplished for us back at Calvary's cross. Our Lord in his goodness has provided manifold means by which the benefits of his cross are distributed to the world. And so what he won for you, Todd, on Calvary is brought forward in time and place to where you are, where he is gathering himself a people, putting his word of gospel power into preaching, absolution, holy baptism, and then, of course, the Lord's Supper, so that you are benefited. You receive that forgiveness. You receive that life. You receive that salvation.
If it were on our side of the equation, as you have so rightly said here, if it were, and it were up to us to somehow get back to the cross to receive its benefits, what would be our circumstance?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting that our Lord makes it clear, as does, for example, St. Paul, that no one can come to our Lord Christ unless the Father who sent Christ draws him. This is a one-sided show, if you will. The Lord in his power, because of his grace, is creating and sustaining faith in hearts where the gospel means of grace are being celebrated. We're in a position, actually, of being dead in our trespasses and sins. So any efforts that we might make to accomplish the receiving of forgiveness and so on and so forth is actually wrong-headed. The only thing that we can talk about as far as this goes is after we've been reborn and we have the Holy Spirit, those new desires, those new motivations, those that hungering and thirsting for righteousness is born in us by God's Spirit working through the means of grace. But prior to our conversion, that just doesn't exist. There's no one who seeks after God. No, not one. So is that what you're asking, Todd?
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's talk about, let's expand upon the benefits that we've talked about there. You say that it's not just the forgiveness of sins here in time, but it is eternal life and eternal life that is uniquely connected to the resurrection, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Where do we find that in Scripture, Pastor Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Gospel of John. And, you know, when you're reading through these great and awesome promises that our Lord Christ is making, even though he's making them in the context of some naysayers in John 6, he makes it pretty clear what he is promising and what he is giving up his life for. You know, he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." He's making promises about the eating and drinking of his flesh and blood. He says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The same Lord that suffered for you and me on Calvary's cross rose again on Easter Sunday, and he rose not just as a revived human being still in a mortal body, but he rose in a body that is fundamentally transfigured, as it were, into a body that cannot die, his glorified body. This is the body that is promised to us. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we're receiving not just the mortal body that died, but the body that died and is risen and is ascended and glorified. We're eating the living Christ, his flesh. We're drinking his blood, his life-giving blood. And that's coming into us, and it's basically preparing us for this communion fellowship, no longer, one day, no longer in a body that is mortal, a body that suffers, a body that is weak and dies and perishes in the grave. We are eating, this foretaste of the feast to come is eating the glorified, resurrected, once crucified, but now risen Christ. And so that's what we're looking forward to.
So this isn't some sort of a merely spiritual transaction, if for lack of a better word, that takes place here. The fact that Christ's body is really bodily there for us in the Lord's Supper, bodily to be received by the mouth, and his blood as well, is crucial to understanding what we're getting there in the Lord's Supper.
Absolutely. We are making a direct connection between the resurrected body of Jesus that could be handled. Touch me and see. You know, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. That body, that resurrected, glorified body, we are participating in even now in the Lord's Supper with the promise that our bodies will be transformed. Though we perish and are buried in the ground and wither away, or our bodies die in some other manner, you know, that dismembers them or what have you, the power of the Word of Christ will bring us out of the dead in bodies that are glorified. Our bodies that had died are now brought back in fullness of health, that can never be sick, can never die. And the Lord's Supper is participating in that reality already.
Is that why the ancients would refer to the Lord's Supper in a kind of a very straightforward way as the medicine of immortality?
That's exactly it, Todd. They recognize what our great hope is. Our hope is not just being bodiless spirits, you know, playing harps up in the heavens somewhere. It's wonderful, of course, that we're relieved of the bodily sufferings of this life until our Lord tarries by being brought to the Lord's presence in heavenly glory, as it were, prior to the resurrection. But that's kind of an in-between state, if you will. It's some people liken it to how things are in our dreams. You know, we imagine that we're in our flesh and we're conducting various affairs in our dreams as though we're in the flesh in these other places, these other worlds, having these other conversations, you know. But as far as the analogy goes, that's fine. Yeah, so we're not quite together. We're not what we are intended to be yet. When the Lord returns and he brings us back together with our now resurrected and glorified bodies, that's when we are who the Lord wants us to be, how he has created us to be, and how we will enjoy him forever. So by taking this medicine of immortality into our bodies, that is the very body and blood of Christ, we are enjoying, again, a foretaste of what we will know in our own resurrected bodily life forever and ever and ever.
Pastor Brandon Scott Jones is our guest. We're talking about the power of the Lord's Supper. Speaking of the Lord's Supper, there will be a catechism convocation for the people on Saturday, April the 13th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Inglewood, California. This year's theme is the Sacrament of the Altar, the Lord Christ, His Supper, and His Church. The keynote speaker is going to be Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, you can find out more about this convocation for the people at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, just a few more minutes with Pastor Brandon Scott Jones talking about the power of the Lord's Supper. I'll have him set before us the assurance that the Word of Christ stands despite our doubts. And then we're going to play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen on Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about the power in the Lord's Supper. A few more minutes with Pastor Brandon Scott Jones, and then we're going to play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week, to round off this Friday afternoon's program. To round this off, Pastor Jones, if you would, and you've discussed this at length already, but summarize it for us. Set before us the assurance that is found in the fact that the word of Christ stands in the Lord's Supper in spite of the doubts we may have.
Todd, of course, in this life, we have a life of seeing and feeling and experiencing. And much of what we see, feel, and experience smacks up against the word of the Lord, smacks up against what he has promised us, and we're challenged with those things. The world, the flesh, the devil, you know, this unholy trinity, as it were, is, as it were, saying to us, hey, why do you believe what God's word has said to you? Look at your experience. Look at what you're going through. And yes, okay, we do have these struggles. We do have these challenges. But the word of the Lord is calling us over and over again back to hearing what he has promised and looking at how his promises are perfectly fulfilled in all of his actions, all of his words, in accordance with the scriptures, and his resurrection from the dead, demonstrating that all that he said and all that he promises is indeed true and either has come to pass or will come to pass. So that what we do when we're in that time, that season of struggle, when we have some fears and doubts, maybe on that Sunday morning when we're coming forward now to receive the Lord's Supper, we have some questions going on, we are directed to the clear word of Christ, the God-man, who became flesh so that he might suffer, die, and rise for us. We go clearly now to his word of promise, and we take him at his word. He has promised. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament. Do this for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. His words are what we are directed to. If we kind of turn to our insides, if we turn to our feelings, if we turn to the experience that we're going through, you know, we're going to stumble because it's kind of like Peter looking at the waves and the storm and so forth, and he kind of bloop, 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 you know, down he goes into the sea. We got to keep our eyes fixed on Christ as he is coming to us in his word and his sacrament and believe what he himself has clearly promised and know that it is his strong word and he will sustain us.
Pastor Brandon Scott Jones is pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Long Beach, California. Pastor Jones, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd, and God bless your whole endeavor there. It's just such a huge blessing to many of our parishioners here in Long Beach.
Thank you.